that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. So this show, you know what I'm going to talk about to begin the show. It is on everybody's lips. It's on every news broadcast. It's going to be the Supreme Court's decision on the vaccine mandate. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to hear some reactions from the left. And I got a simple question to the justices on the Supreme Court. It's not hard to determine whether it's constitutional or not. Let's see. We're also going to talk about how Grumpy Joe is getting more grumpy as every day progresses, and he's taking it out on the American people. And then we're going to end the show. I just don't understand what is going on in the space around us. There's some things that I'm seeing that I'm noticing a trend on, and I'm not real happy about it. And usually when you start seeing things like this, it's for a reason. We'll get into that at the later aspects of the show, but let's start off with this vaccine mandate. As I'm sure you already know, the vaccine mandate, the OSHA vaccine mandate, which basically mandated that any business that has over 100 employees has to be vaccinated, well, that was struck down by the Supreme Court by a 6-3 decision. Now, the vaccine mandate for healthcare officials, well, that remains in effect by a 5-4 decision. And I'm not really sure how that works, because if it's not constitutional for one, it shouldn't be constitutional for all, unless these healthcare workers are determined to be non-American citizens. Yes, I get it. These healthcare workers, they may be in contact, or they will be in contact with people with comorbidities. They may be in contact with people with suppressed immune systems, so therefore they don't want to transmit this. And I also realize that the Supreme Court decision for and against this mandate was not based on how well the vaccine is functioning and is performing. But really, I mean, if you're going to look at this, you have to look at this in a constitutional way. You have a vaccine that has not been proven. You are going to push that on 80 million, 85 million people around this country. Many of them are opposed to it. Many of them are walking off of their jobs. So the Supreme Court says, no, this is not constitutional. The Supreme Court wrote that although Congress has indisputably given OSHA the power to regulate occupational dangers, it has not given that agency the power to regulate public health more broadly, requiring the vaccination of 84 million Americans simply selected because they work for employers with more than 100 employees certainly falls into the latter category. And basically, in layman's terms, what that means is OSHA, the whole point of OSHA is to go into a business and ensure safety measurements are being adhered to while those people are at work. With a vaccine, you get that vaccine, you just don't get rid of it after work. When you agree to work for a company, you go to work and you work for that company, and then after you leave work, that is your time. You are not on work time anymore. But with this vaccine mandate, you are required to take a vaccine that is in a trial period. And therefore, what happens at work will affect you outside of work. And that is beyond the jurisdiction of OSHA. And essentially, that is what the Supreme Court said. In other words, OSHA is there to protect you while you are working. This mandate is forcing you to essentially, or forcing OSHA to essentially administer something to you that you will carry with you after you leave the workplace. Now, all during this case and even afterwards in their writings, the Supreme Court constantly kept telling everybody that this has nothing to do with the effectiveness of the vaccine. This has to do with the constitutionality of making people get the vaccine against their will. But then Justice Elena Kagan, she asked Jesus Osedi, who is the Deputy Attorney General of Missouri, who is seeking to stop the mandate's enforcement, she asked him why the Health and Human Services Secretary didn't have the authority to institute a vaccine mandate in healthcare facilities as a basic infection control measure. She went on to say, all the secretary is doing here is to say to providers, you know what? The one thing you can't do is kill your patients. Very good. But then, for a Supreme Court that did not rule on the effectiveness of this vaccine, Elena Kagan went on to say, you have to get vaccinated so that you are not transmitting the disease that can kill elderly Medicare patients, that can kill sick Medicaid patients. That seems like a pretty basic infection prevention measure. Again, we are not, according to the Supreme Court, ruling on the effectiveness of this vaccine. Elena Kagan, a Supreme Court justice who should know the facts about this so-called vaccine, she's telling Jesus Osedi, the Deputy Attorney General of Missouri, listen, these healthcare workers, they need to get the vaccine so they are not transmitting the disease to elderly patients, to Medicare, to Medicaid patients, and killing them. Literally disregarding the fact, and I mean fact, it doesn't matter if you've had one shot, all the shots and the boosters or not, if you had the vaccine, you can still catch COVID, and more importantly, you can still transmit COVID. It's as simple as that. And for a Supreme Court justice to sit there and tell an attorney general of Missouri that you need these vaccines so you don't transmit it, that tells you how out of touch this person is with the reality of the situation. Oh, and by the way, Elena Kagan, she voted to have mandates for both the OSHA and the healthcare workers. So 6-3 against the OSHA mandate, 5-4, the healthcare mandate stands. And again, I just don't understand how you can have one mandate that's unconstitutional and another mandate that is constitutional. Now, you can look at it as a healthcare crisis or not. And to say that you're not looking at the effectiveness of the vaccine, you have to, in my view, because you are forcing onto these healthcare workers under the assumption, under the presumption that they won't get COVID, that they won't transmit it. Listen, the Supreme Court Justice just said that. I just quoted the Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan is saying that. These healthcare workers have to get it so they don't transmit it to the feeble, to the sick, to the elderly, to the Medicare, to the Medicaid patients. If we are going to use that as a question, then obviously we're looking at the effectiveness of this vaccine. The problem with that is your facts are wrong. This vaccine is not effective. You can still transmit it. You can still give it. So what's the point of mandating it to healthcare workers? Most of these healthcare workers have already had COVID, so therefore they have natural immunity, which means they are 10 to 27 times more likely to not get COVID and to not transmit it, as opposed to somebody who has not had it and been vaccinated. There's no logic in this, and this is the manipulation, and this is the propaganda that we are dealing with on a daily basis. Think about this. Anytime you watch TV, anytime you listen to the news, anytime you listen to the radio or go on social media, you are inundated, absolutely inundated with pro-vaccine. Doctors coming up telling you how safe the vaccine is, how effective it is. No time whatsoever have you noticed a commercial saying, listen, the vaccines are not effective. The vaccines, we don't know if they're safe. If you want to get the vaccine, do it. But don't feel bad if you don't want to get the vaccine. But you are being guilted 24/7. There is no other opinion that we are allowed to hear anywhere in the media. Be it news, radio, social media, we can't hear another opinion. Those that are giving another opinion, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, just to name a few, they are being censored. That right there should tell you everything you need to know. You are only allowed to hear one side of the story, and guess what side of the story that is? It's the government's view. While you still can, look up the history of the Nazi Party in the 1930s in Germany. This is verbatim, by the book, what the Nazi Party did. They gave you one side of the story, their side of the story, and anybody who had an opposing view was silenced. They were censored. Hell, the President of the United States was banned off of Twitter. Anybody that has an opposing view against this vaccine and against this virus is considered a conspiracy theorist and therefore banned from speaking their mind. But lo and behold, we're finding out what these people are telling you is true. The vaccine doesn't work. We've been saying this since the vaccine first started coming out. People were getting sick just being around people who were vaccinated because they were shedding the virus. No, that's a lie. Well, then the breakthrough cases came, and we were told they were extremely rare, nothing to worry about. But now, it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not. You essentially had the same chance of getting COVID as everybody else. But we're not being told that. And yet we're the ones that they're considering are crazy because we are opposing the government view. So as you can imagine, the left is going crazy on this, and no more so than the illustrious Joy Reid, the biggest racist in America. She went on MSNBC and spouted her hate-filled rhetoric, saying, I think they're ideologues. I think they're right-wing ideologues. Speaking of the Supreme Court justices, I think they're sort of doing sort of a Christian nationalist version of, you know, whatever it is the Supreme Court used to do. So leave it to Joy Reid, who constantly is proving herself to be the biggest racist on the planet. Now she's going after the Christian nationalists because something didn't go her way. Now, Joy Reid was joined in this segment by Congressman Raul Ruiz, who's a Democrat from California, and former U.S. Solicitor General Neil Katyal. I think that's how you say his name. And as you can imagine, neither of them, they were pleased with the decision of the Supreme Court. She went on to say, at this point, Neil, have they not just simply stated by their actions that they are more in favor of right-wing politics, the kind of DeSantis-style right-wing politics? They are more concerned about those type of politics than they are in favor of saving lives. They don't really care if this causes lots of people to die, clearly. And then to end her rant, she blurts out, at this point, Neil, it is hard to think of them as anything other than right-wing ideologues. They should all have their right-wing talk radio shows. They are not justices in the great tradition of the Supreme Court justices. They are just politicians. As far as I'm concerned, I see nothing about what they're doing that I can possibly respect. Why? Because they follow the law. And that's what leads me to another segment here. Being a Supreme Court justice, yes, you have conservatives and yes, you have liberals. And, you know, Neil Gorsuch, I'm kind of thinking he might be a libertarian because you don't really know. He's kind of like John Roberts. You really don't know where he's going to fall into the fray. But here's the thing. It's a law. You have a constitution that clearly states what is allowed and what isn't allowed. The problem, and it goes both ways. The problem with the Supreme Court nowadays, and especially on the left, I may be a little biased, but it is absolutely clear that the left, they don't use the Constitution as their guide. They use their opinion and their views as their guide. Listen, this was a slam dunk, no problem. This shouldn't even have gone this far as the Supreme Court. But it did, because there are too many judges out there that don't look at the rule of law. They interpret it how they want it to read. When it's black and white, is this constitutional? No, it is not. You cannot force a vaccine trial on individuals. It is infringing on their constitutional rights. For any justice to say that this was constitutional, they are not performing what they said they were going to do when they were sworn in. As they were being sworn in as Supreme Court justices, they put their right hand on the Bible, put their left hand on the Bible, raised their right hand, and swore to uphold the Constitution. They are not. And that brings me to another point. Joe Biden right now is telling these businesses, you do what you do. You still mandate this. You make sure your workplace is safe. You still initiate a vaccine mandate. It has already been proven unconstitutional. You are telling these companies, in essence, to break the law. Therefore, you are not upholding your presidential duties that you swore on a Bible on to uphold the Constitution. If that's not a reason to get you out, impeach you, what is? Now, I know Ukraine, Russiagate, you know, inciting a riot. Yeah, those are all impeachable offenses. But no, completely telling these businesses to break the law, that's okay. That's okay. That's the world we live in right now. So my last question on this subject is, what happens to all these people that were fired because they did not adhere to this mandate? What happens to all these people that were forcibly given the vaccine due to this mandate? Is there any repercussions? Because I'm telling you right now, the companies that have upheld this and forced their employees to get vaccinated have essentially broken the law. Any company that continues their vaccine mandates are breaking the law. Now, I understand that they are a private entity. You know what? You don't want to work there. You don't want to follow their rules. So be it. But you are going to find that these companies, are the companies that are still going to enforce this mandate, are going to turn tail and run when they realize how many employees that they cannot hire, that they lose, because you have to be vaccinated to get employed there. There are millions, tens of millions of people who aren't vaccinated. And at this point in the game, if you're not vaccinated, there's a great chance you're not going to get vaccinated. These companies are going to need people. And they're going to drop these mandates. But what happens to these people that lost their jobs, lost their livelihoods? Some people lost their homes. Some people lost everything because of this mandate, because these employers jumped the gun. Keep in mind that the Supreme Court made their decision 2 days after this vaccine mandate actually went into effect. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of people were terminated from their jobs or voluntarily left their jobs because they refused to get vaccinated. What are the repercussions? What can we do against these companies? I'm not a lawyer, but I know I have a lot of lawyers that listen to this show. Contact me. Let me know if there's any recourse on this. And what about Joe Biden? Joe Biden out there telling these companies, just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Is that not something that's impeachable? You got the President of the United States telling companies to break the law? I don't know. For me, that's kind of illegal, I would think. So let me know. What do you think? What do you think the repercussions should be to these businesses and these companies that forced these employees to get vaccinated and these employees got fired or they got vaccinated against their will? What do you think the repercussions are? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'm going to have a brief political segment, and then we're going to talk about something that really strikes me as odd, that really worries me, and then should worry you too. So sit back, relax, open that mind. My name's Tom Velasquez. You're listening to The Paranormal Patriot.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Everybody, we are back. Has anybody noticed how Joe Biden is really just really pissed off now lately? His Build Back Better plan is dead. His filibuster thing is Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have destroyed that. Vaccine mandate's done. He's out there in Georgia yelling at the American people about voting reform. 6% of Americans, 6%, think this is even remotely close to a topic that is concerning. 94% of the people could care less, because 94% of the people are looking at their grocery bills and anything, their bills in general, and going, what the hell? This is what we need to be concerned about. The jobless rate. The jobs every month. Every month, the Labor Department says, yeah, we should be getting such and such jobs, you know, 500,000 jobs gained. And every month, the job report comes in with lower than expected job growth. The unemployment rate, let's talk about inflation. 7% inflation, the highest since Jimmy Carter. Anybody who's been alive long enough to remember how it was when Jimmy Carter was president knows how scary that is. Crime's not a big deal to the Democrats. In fact, the DA of New York is now just saying, hey, you know what? If you break the law, don't worry about it. You're not going to get arrested, not going to go to jail, because that's not a good thing for you. We're going to build some character by not sending you to jail. Look at all these mobs going into these retail locations in Democrat-controlled cities, I will tell you, and just looting them, and people are getting hurt, people are getting shot. There's no control for crime. They don't care. Crime, you can't. Listen, this defund the police thing we thought was bad, this is worse, because they just don't care. They can't defund the police, so what they're going to do is they're going to elect officials that just say, crime? There's no crime here. Because if you can't commit a crime if it's no longer a crime, correct? So you watch the numbers of New York's crime rate plummet, and they're going to just praise this new DA. The reason is because nothing's a crime there anymore. Everything's legal. You want to rob that person? Go ahead. That's legal. You want to kill that person? Just don't get caught. If you do, well, you might go to jail, but probably not. You'll just get probation. The Democrats can't defund the police, so we'll just make them irrelevant. There's no point to have police because nothing's illegal anymore. That's the mentality of the Democrat Party in today's day and age. And then Joe Biden has the gall to come up and go into Georgia and start yelling at America as a whole, telling us how racist we are because we have voter laws. You need an ID. Hell, you need an ID to buy alcohol. You need ID to get a prescription. You sure as hell should need an ID to vote. Well, they think it's racist because, well, not all people can get an ID. Bull crap. Everybody can get an ID. If you can't drive a car, guess what you can get? You can get a state ID. They're free. We give them to you. All you have to do is make the effort to go get one. If you can't make the effort to go get an ID so you can vote, that's not on me. That doesn't make me racist. That makes you lazy. This is the biggest example of how far down this president has fallen. This administration is in the trash heap. He's got a 33, you heard me right, 33% approval rating. I don't remember anybody having a 33% approval rating. A third of the country is supporting him. Now, to be honest with you, in my opinion, that number is way too high because I have no idea how anybody other than a socialist. So apparently there's 33% socialists in this country. Well, first off, that should tell the Democrats everything they need to know about their agenda. It's not what the people want, but that doesn't matter. At this point, it doesn't matter what the Democrats think you want. It's what the Democrats want you to want. So this administration is in shambles. Nothing is going right. Everything they do seems to crash and burn in their face. So what do? They pick the topic that 6% of Americans have even slightly on their radar and go to town on it and lambaste us all, calling us racists. As if that is the hot topic. And of course, the media is going to pick that up and just go to town with it, telling everybody how racist Georgia is, how racist Texas is, because they have voter laws on the books. Nobody talks about New Jersey's. Nobody talks about Delaware's voter laws that are more stringent than Georgia and Texas, because those are Democrat-controlled states. It's just these Republican-controlled states that when they do have voter laws, even though they're not as stringent and oppressive as these Democrat-run states, well, because they're Republican states, that makes them racist. I literally cannot wait to see what happens when Build Back Better is completely destroyed by Joe Manchin. I think you will see Joe Biden just have an absolute conniption. If he's this angry at voter laws, can you imagine what his signature legislation going down in flames, what he's going to act like there? And let me tell you, Joe Manchin, as a Democrat, and this is how, you know what, this I don't just like Republicans. People think, any Democrat you hate. No, I don't. I admire Joe Manchin. He's a Democrat. Most of the time, we don't see eye to eye on views. But you know what I like about him? Is he is able to see through the partisanship. He's able to see what exactly the Democrats are doing right now. Would I like him to jump ship and become a Republican? No, I wouldn't. Because he still holds Democratic views, but they're old school Democratic views. They're not this new Democrat Socialist Party views. He realizes that you have to have the checks and balances. You can't just railroad everything through without the support of the other party or without including the other party. And that pisses the Democrats off. Right now, there is an active effort to go after Kyrsten Sinema. We're wearing her down. We're breaking her down. That was the quote. Oh, gosh, who quoted it? Hold on. I've got there it is. Sarah Mickelson, an ACLU senior campaign strategist and former state director of, surprise, Senator Bernie Sanders' failed presidential campaign in 2020, took to Twitter after Sinema gave an emotional floor speech saying she will not vote to weaken the Senate's 60-vote filibuster in order to help Democrats pass voting rights. Mickelson said, Sienna sounds like she's going to cry, and then encourage Democrats to keep going with the attacks because they are breaking her. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the love, the all love and peace loving Democrat Party. That Sarah Mickelson embodies what the Democrat Party is. If you don't follow us, we will break you. We will do everything we can to break you. My God, there is a huge, huge campaign, a huge effort to stop online and in-person bullying across the country, correct? Is this not bullying? Are you not encouraging other people to go and harass this person, Kyrsten Sinema? Yes, you are. I think there is some type of law, some type of repercussions on doing something like this. Because this is wrong. This is a senator in the United States Senate who just by chance is opposed to something that you agree with. That's fine. It happens all the time. Well, did you see Republicans out there threatening Joe Biden? Break him, break him. He can't think for himself. Break him. Because they didn't like the fact that he, quote unquote, won the election? No. We accept it. This is the Democrat Party strategy line. If you don't go with our view, we will break you. This is horrendous. This is uncalled for, but this is what we as Republicans, as conservatives, as people who love this country have to deal with every single day. You don't like it? We're going to yell. We're going to talk over you. We're going to yell over you until you give up or just back down. Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, you have my respect. Godspeed to you. God give them the strength to hold strong. These are true politicians. A true politician is someone that can see both sides of the fence. And maybe every now and then, they will vote against their party line because they think that's the best thing for their constituents. Because their constituents said, we believe this. Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. And this holds true on the Republican side because there's too many damn Republicans out there that won't go center of the aisle. Center of the aisle would be the best thing ever for this country. But right now, because everybody is so polarized on the left or the right, nothing gets done. And we're stagnant. And all we do is fight. And nothing gets accomplished. Kudos to you, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. God give you strength to endure the hell you are going to receive. Okay, we're going to change topics here right now. And recently, on Netflix, I watched, and I know they're two liberals, but it was a decent movie. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep, and I forgot his name. Whatever. Anyway, Don't Look Up. It's about, if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it's about a couple scientists that find this asteroid. They call it a comet, but basically an asteroid that's on a collision course with Earth, and they're trying to warn the public and trying to warn the administration at the time of this Earth-killing asteroid, and we got to do something about it. And it follows them as they get rebuted and just blown off, and then all of a sudden, well, I won't get into the details, but you know, everybody's, oh, it's an epitome of a right-wing presidency. It's not. It's a movie. You could say the same thing about the Joe Biden presidency as you could about a Donald Trump presidency in this. But how many movies? Look at how many movies lately you are seeing. Moonfall, same thing. Where a deep space object is on a collision course with Earth. And look at how many articles now that you're seeing about asteroids coming a near-Earth object or becoming a near-Earth object. Now, this month in January, I believe it's January 18th, asteroid 1994 PC-1, it's expected to pass Earth at a distance of 0.013 astronomical units. Now, technically, it's what NASA calls a close approach, but it's 1.2 million miles away. But how many times are you hearing of asteroids coming close to Earth? That asteroid the size of the Eiffel Tower, asteroid the size of a football field, blah, blah, blah. How many times have you seen or heard that recently about an asteroid making a quote-unquote close approach to Earth? It's almost as if they're trying to tell us something. We're now having asteroid killers being produced by NASA. These are space, I don't know, you call them modules, call them rockets, but space machinery that they launch towards an asteroid and detonate it with a nuclear device to project it off course. You know, I've seen Armageddon, I've seen other movies where it just doesn't work. We don't know. We don't know if it's going to work. But right now, we're getting inundated. Just in January alone, asteroids 2021 YQ and 2021 YX hurled by the Earth on January 5th at distances of 1.3 and 2.4 million miles, respectively. Now, you may or may not know that 2021, in front of the YQ and the YK, that is when they discovered these asteroids. So these asteroids, which are considered near-Earth objects now because they fall within that realm, they were just discovered. So what is going on? Why are so many asteroids, why are we seeing so many fireballs? I've never seen incidents of so many fireballs. I've got an app on my phone that lists whenever a fireball is detected, and they're all over. I get every day, I get alerts, fireball detected here, fireball detected here, fireball detected here. Fireball is essentially a meteor shooting through the Earth's atmosphere and breaking up. We all remember years ago, a couple years ago, maybe 8-10 years ago, in Russia, the meteor that was going through the atmosphere, and it exploded in the atmosphere and just not leveled, but it damaged the town pretty good. Just a couple of years ago, I saw a fireball here in Michigan. They're all over the place. And now, it was kind of cool the other night. We were sitting out. We picked up a hot tub a couple years ago, and we were sitting in it, and unbeknownst to us, it was a meteor shower. And we were watching meteors, just shooting stars, essentially, shoot across the sky. It was awesome. It was amazing. It was beautiful. I mean, it kind of made you feel small. But fireballs. These are different than the shooting stars you see during a meteor shower. Fireballs are big enough that they explode in the atmosphere. A lot of times when you have an account of a fireball, you hear of a large explosion. Sometimes it's in a well-populated city in Russia. Other times it's in the nowhere. Other times they hit the ground. Now, granted, when they hit the ground, they're probably the size of my hand, not too big, but it happens, and it seems to be happening more. And if I've noticed anything growing up, I've noticed that Hollywood seems to dictate the future. When we see a lot of war movies, a lot of cyber warfare movies, a lot of terrorist attacks in movies, it tends that these are going to happen in the future. Is an asteroid, a large asteroid, on a collision course with Earth? The question can be answered. I mean, there's numerous amateur astronomers out there, and I would like to think that there's at least one or two of those out there that would say, hey, we got an asteroid coming our way. The problem is, as in these two that just passed in January, we don't see them until it's too late. So if we have a large asteroid, I mean, there's talk that there's a large asteroid just hiding behind the sun that's going to swing around and come right at us. Do we have the technology right now to deflect an asteroid? Is the fact that every time you read an article on the internet, you come across a news feed on the internet, there's at least one article about a large asteroid being detected, a near-Earth object going to go past Earth, sometimes between the moon and Earth. I mean, it's getting a little It's a nice diversion from COVID. I'll give you that. I'm just tired of the COVID news. But it's a little disconcerting. Because, listen, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how this whole thing works with deflecting them. To me, if you're shooting nuclear warheads at a large asteroid that's coming right towards Earth, all you're doing is breaking up into littler asteroids. So instead of one big impact that will probably take us all out, we're going to have a lot of little impacts. Maybe that's good, maybe that's not. I don't know. But on top of the asteroids, you're also, just this weekend, I'm recording this on January 14th. This weekend, we are supposed to get another solar storm. I never heard of a solar storm warning. But they're coming out all the time. This solar storm this weekend is supposed to knock out, hit our satellites. You know, it's supposed to disrupt their satellites and may disrupt the electrical grid. Are these new? Why were these not around in the 80s when I was growing up? This is the stuff that makes me wonder what do the people in the know really know that they're not telling us? Because again, Hollywood, in the media, it's almost like they're kind of trying to condition us for this. It's almost like they know there's a huge asteroid coming, a planet killer asteroid is coming, and they're trying to divert our attention away from that big asteroid coming by telling us about all these other big asteroids coming, but how they're not going to hit Earth, so it's nothing to worry about, even though NASA's developing asteroid-killing space projects. Do they know something about the sun? I mean, supposedly what we are being taught is the sun is going to be here for billions of years before it finally expands and turns into a white dwarf, I think it is. Is there something I don't know? I mean, are they expecting the sun to explode and fry us all up and just don't want to panic us? I don't know. But, you know, you're seeing movies left and right and articles left and right about asteroids and about solar storms that are coming our way that's going to disrupt life as we know it, and it's a planet killer. Oh, my gosh. What do you believe anymore? What do you believe? I don't know. So lastly, last week I asked my listeners to email me or contact me in some way, shape, or form and let me know if you are vaccinated or unvaccinated. Now, first off, I want to give a special shout-out to Justin. You know who you are, Justin. You were the first person to respond. And honestly, Justin's response infuriated me because I kind of know Justin in a way. He, in order to go to college, he had to get vaccinated, and he did not want to get vaccinated. And this is what infuriates me is these public institutions, they're basically mandating that these people become guinea pigs. And, you know, I hate to put it that way, Justin, but that's what it feels like. So, Justin, you know, I applaud you for your stance, and, you know, it sucks. It sucks that you had to do this to go to college, but you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I don't look down on you. That was your choice. That's great. I think I know the answer is if you didn't have to do it, would you have? I think I know the answer. But I counted, this was one of my best polls ever. I counted 237 responses. Out of those 237 responses, 194 of you are not vaccinated. The rest of you are vaccinated, and that's fine. So when I do my unvaccinated to vaccinated shows, you know, I guess my worry goes down a little bit because most of my listeners are unvaccinated. But in response to that, I do want to say that most of my listeners that are vaccinated didn't know if they should or not, and they decided to, and that's fine. But they hold no disrespect. They hold no grudge. They don't look down on the vaccinated. It's nice to know that my listeners are that way. I mean, I preach tolerance. I preach, you know, treating everybody with respect. And it seems like my listeners do. And for those of you who are unvaccinated that said the same that answered, they said the same thing. You know, I don't care if you're vaccinated. All I ask is you don't force it on me and you don't look down upon me or treat me any different than because I'm not vaccinated. Most of my listeners, out of that 197, I think at least 75, and I'm sure the number's higher, but at least 75 of you said, hey, I already have COVID. I have natural immunity. I don't need the vaccine. So, Justin, thank you for being the first one. I appreciate it. Everybody else that responded, thank you very much. And hey, lastly, if you have a topic you want to hear on this show or you want to just get on the show, get a hold of me. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, this is your show. I want to talk about and I want you to hear what you guys want to hear. If you guys want to hear more political, let me know. If you guys want to hear more paranormal space stuff, let me know. This is your show. I do what I can every week to find a topic I think everybody will enjoy. Some weeks is a home run. Some weeks I go down swinging. Let me know what you want to hear about, and I'll talk about it. Because I think we're all one family here. I think everybody here has a pretty good idea what everybody else likes. So don't be afraid. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net with those ideas. And I will talk about them. That's what I do on this show. Alrighty, that'll be the show for this week. Hey, shout out, Jay Miles, Harvey Gott, Rick Ness. Just want to say hi. Haven't heard from you in a while. Haven't talked to you in a while, but thanks for all your support. For every one of my other listeners, thank you for your support. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. Contact me with those show ideas, ghostseeker4@charter.net. I will talk to you next week. And every time I heard the phone ringing, darling, I always prayed it was you. There's nothing sweeter than